I heard that you guys had an awesome service last Friday. Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm glad two people thought so. But I know I thought so, even though I just heard about it. We had some baptisms last week. That was very, very exciting. Wonderful worship, and I heard you heard some good stuff as well. I was in Utah, and very sorry that I could not be with you last week, but I was visiting our sister Rock Church in Salt Lake City. And I had a very interesting time there. I thought I'd tell you a few stories tonight before I get into my very special message for this evening. You see if you can guess what it's about. So anyway, you know, my wife sometimes, she's kind of teased me that someday I might get in trouble for praying because I'm out so early in the morning. So I was staying with a good friend of mine. His name is Steele, and I was staying with his wife and their two children and him. They live in this little townhouse, and I don't know my way around Salt Lake City. So when I usually get up, which is around 3 in the morning, I'm usually to prayer by 4 or 4:15. And so I always try to find a lonely place to pray. And the only place I could find was the street. It's kind of a street that goes in a circle around these townhomes. And you know, most decent people are asleep at 4:15. Except for me, and I guess a few others. So I was out walking around and around, in the lights, mind you, lights, it's all lit up, and I was walking near the cars because they don't have many garages out there. They had these kind of overhanging places you drive your car under, a carport, I guess you'd call it. So I'm walking around and around and around. I'm just having a wonderful prayer time, and all of a sudden, you know, a car pulls up behind me. I'm like, well, I better get over a little farther. I wasn't in the middle of the road, trust me. I was near the side. There was no sidewalk. And all of a sudden, I noticed a brighter light kind of shining on me. I thought maybe the angels were, I don't know, had come down into my presence. So I thought, well, maybe I should turn around. So I turned around, and sure enough, it was not one, but two cops. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. So I walked over to the, rolled down one of the officers. He said, excuse me, what are you doing out here? I said, well, officer, I'm on a prayer walk. I swear he never has heard anything like this in his life. I guarantee you. He said, excuse, what? I said, I'm on a prayer walk. I'm a pastor. I'm here speaking this weekend, and I'm on a prayer walk. He said, do you have any identification? I said, not on me. It's in that guy's apartment, well, his townhouse right down there. I'm staying there. Well, what's the address? I said, I don't know. I came out the back door. He said, okay, can you go get identification? I said, well, sure, officer, I'd be glad to. This is, mind you, 4:30 in the morning. And it's very, very dark, and other than the lights that are shining on me. So I have my other leather coat on, and I thought he might want some kind of surety, you know, that I'd come back. So I said, well, would you like my coat? Because I really like the coat, and I will be back for it. He goes, no, I trust you. I said, okay, I'll be right back. So I go sneak in the back door real quiet, and I get my billfold, and I come up, and I pull my license out. And he's running it, you know, typing it all in. And he said, now, where are you from? I said, I'm Minneapolis. He said, well, how'd you get here? I said, I flew. Well, here's my boarding pass, my premium seat, as you notice, and it tells you the time and the flight that I was. Oh, and there's my name. Okay, now what did you say you're out here doing again? He said, I'm walking around as I exercise, praying. I'm on a prayer walk. He goes, and what church are you sharing at this week? It's called The Rock. Oh, The Rock. He said, well, what's going on is we kind of have a neighborhood watch thing, and, you know, there's some older people that live here. And yeah, right, they can't sleep, like this older guy. So they're up staring out their window. They got nothing else better to do. They're staring out the window at this suspicious guy, they reported, walking around, you know, the streets. So anyway, he said, well, thanks. He said, everything's okay. I said, officer, I'll try to. I noticed some tennis courts back there, and it's real dark back there. I'll just go back there. He said, yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. So it was an interesting time in Salt Lake. Almost arrested for my prayer life. That would have been an exciting story, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have believed me. I was kind of saying, you know, officer, if you arrest me, this will be a better story. Like maybe just, I don't know, just frisk me, pull your gun out or something. Oh my gosh. But I had a very good time out there. I got to tell you a really neat story. This is very, very touching. So I was out there. I shared, they had kind of a leader's morning. They call it Revive. And so I was sharing a bunch of young people on Saturday morning. And then in the evening at the Rock, I was doing the message I'd done here before entitled Why Hope. And so I was, as I was walking in, there was one of my friends, that the guy I was staying with, his best friend and his wife, they were just walking in. They play in his band. And she had brought her cousin. And it was her first time there. And so I met this young woman, and I thought to myself, oh, I hope she's ready for this, because I knew what the topic was going to be. And so we talked briefly. The music happened. I went up and did my message, and the Lord really used it. So I'm walking around. I'm meeting a bunch of people after the service. And this young woman comes up to me that I had met before the service. She said, may I talk to you a minute? I said, sure. She said, I was talking about our eternal home. I was talking about eternity and the fact that God one day is going to judge the entire world, destroy it, and make a new planet that we're going to live on, in a new heaven and a new earth that we will inhabit for all eternity. And we'll be with all of our loved ones forever. There'll be no sickness, no tears. So she just looked at me. She said, Mark, I want to be with my baby. So I began to tell her how I knew that her baby was in heaven, based on the biblical story of David and the child that David lost and what God told him about that baby. And so then I just began to go into the gospel. And I began to share with her how she could know for sure that she was going to be where her baby was and how she could come to know Jesus Christ. Well, I could see out of the corner of my eye that her cousin was really just overjoyed that this was going on. And I just felt the Lord really lead me to say, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what, young lady, why don't you just go out with your cousin afterwards, maybe go, you know, to Chipotle or Panera or something like that, and she can tell you how you can know for sure you're going to come to Christ. And her, you know, the cousin gave me a hug, and with tears in her eyes, said, Mark, this is incredible. I've been praying for my cousin for some time. She whispered in my ear. So they left. So the next day, I'm hanging out with Steele. We're doing some other things, talking about church and life, and I'm telling Kim, because she's now sitting at the table, I said, yeah, you know, I got to visit last night, and this wife is her best friend. I said, I got to share last night with this young woman. She goes, oh my gosh, Mark, oh my, are you kidding me? And my tears just filled my eyes, and about 30 minutes later, she gets a text. She goes, Mark, you won't believe this, you won't believe this. She went last night, she accepted Christ. God has just been so good to us, hasn't he? We have this incredible message to share about the love of Jesus Christ. And no matter what, as I've told you before, no matter what our past is, no matter what we've done, God is willing to forgive if we come to Christ. You see. It's not as something that just in the end, God just sort of goes, oh, okay, come on, you can all come up here. No, there's a price that had to be paid, but the price was paid by Christ. And all we're required to do is accept God's gift. And it's extraordinary. Last week before I flew on the trip, I had a coffee with two young people, and some very difficult things had happened recently to them. And so I had the opportunity to just for 2 hours share Christ. And I got an email later that day from the young woman. Mark, I just wanted you to know, I went home. I prayed to receive Christ. And I began reading the chapters that you gave me and began listening to the messages that you gave to me. And my goodness, all of a sudden, everything's just starting to make sense. Anyway, so I just thought I'd share with those little newsy items. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had a difficult week? I figured that. Yes. Well, if you're new here tonight, please bear with me. Okay? Because I've been praying about this all week. because I realize that I have a lot of probably young people here tonight that are a little shell-shocked, that probably have been a little bit despairing this week, as I know for a fact because of other emails I've received and other things I've read, that there are millions of people that are millions that are despairing. So tonight my message is entitled Post-Election Comfort Psalm. Post-Election Comfort Psalm. And I thought it would just be wonderful to turn to the Bible, to the Scriptures, and I thought what I would do is read to you a psalm and then make some comments on it that I think will give you a tremendous sense of encouragement. Because I recognize that many of you have a genuine, deep-seated concern for the direction that our nation is taking. And so do I. I could share with you, I won't tonight. I'm not going to go into facts. I'm not going to go into figures. I know that there's others of you that are just very glad it's done. Unfortunately, it's not really done. Unfortunately, now the path that our nation is going down that's become quite obvious is going to be a very difficult one. It's going to be a very difficult one. And I say that as an individual based on facts, based on reason, based on the perspective of the Word of God. And so I would like to share with you this evening one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. It is the psalm I go to frequently, and it's the psalm I went to Wednesday, Thursday, and today, and I will be going to for years to come. And I thought if I read it tonight, it'll probably make sense to you, and I'd just like you for a moment to just sit, relax, and take it in, and then I'll go through a few things here, because a lot of you are asking, Mark, what now? Okay, so what now? And what is God, what my response to be? And what do I as a Christian do? Listen to this psalm. Psalm 37. Do not be preoccupied or fret because of evil men. Do not be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plant, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Practice being faithful. Dwell in the land and practice faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you, not the government. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Resign yourself to God. Surrender yourself to Him, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret or be anxious or worried when evil men succeed in their way, or when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn away from wrath and fretting, for it only leads to more evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek, and the word meek means to endure injury, with great patience and without resentment. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous. They gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the bow, and they bend the sword, and they bring down the poor and the needy to slay those whose ways are upright in God's eyes. But their sword will pierce their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have, and you are going to have less, than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds His righteous ones. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy enough. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the field. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and never intend to repay. But the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those He curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They were always generous, and they lent freely, and their children are a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just, the righteous, and He will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is right. The law of God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very life to take their freedoms. But the Lord will not leave them in their power, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep God's way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in native soil, but he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the upright man and woman. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He's their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked schemes and saves them because they take refuge in Him. That is my post-election comfort psalm. This is an extraordinary passage in the Scripture. You have to understand that we have seen evil days before, we are seeing them today, and we will see them in the future. And all around the world, as we speak right now, there are all kinds of evil schemes. There are those calling righteousness wickedness, and wickedness righteousness. It's happening all across the world. It's certainly happening in our nation. We have drifted tremendously from the founding principles that were built on the Word of God in this nation. It's only a matter of time before we drift. And I know some of you are very, very concerned. You're very concerned, like, Mark, what about the nation? Because, see, I'm not only a Christian, but I'm an American. We are. And as Christian Americans, no matter what our race or color, we are Christians first. And we serve the living God. And His laws are to be in our heart. And we are to represent Him well in this world. And we are to live lives that are uncompromised with wickedness, whether or not that makes us popular or a stench to those around us. We always live to honor God because we have to be mindful of this. Nothing here lasts. It does not last. All the wicked, be it Stalin, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Hugo Chavez, or Kim Jong in North Korea, or Assad in Syria, they all die. They all die and they turn to dust and they're nothing and they wither. But God stands firm forever and His kingdom lasts forever. And God guarantees you and I, as we know Jesus Christ, that we will inherit everything. You've got to understand this or you'll have no hope. You'll have no hope and you'll ruin your testimony. You'll just give up on God. You'll wonder to yourself, Lord, so why did you allow this to happen, Lord? I can give you a few very practical reasons why it happened, by the way. I'll give you one really simple one. About 30 million Christian Americans didn't get off their butt and simply walk to the polls and honor God and vote. My gosh, we are a lazy, lazy nation. But that should not surprise us when I've told you before, and I have the data at home, that 65%, that 65 out of 100 Christians never read their Bible. Never. They do not honor the voice of God. They do not believe in the eternal truth of God. They do not know the ways of God. They do not follow God. And so they are dull and senseless and stupid and carnal and selfish. But don't be afraid, because God honors the righteousness over the long haul. Even, you see, this psalm comforts me. Even if I don't see it in my lifetime, what am I going to do? Mark, what are you going to do? I am going to trust the Lord and do good. I'm going to keep doing the same thing I've been doing for the last 37 years. I'm going to keep trusting the Lord and doing good. Will I take a stand whenever needed for that which is right? You bet I will. I have been hated and I have been loved and everything in between. And that's not going to stop till I die. That's just not going to stop. I will stand on the uncompromising word of God. The Bible says that when the righteous give way to the wicked, when we give way, when we compromise, he who compromises with the wicked is like a muddied spring or a polluted well. I will not drink from your cup. We cannot compromise. We're not haters. Christians are not people who hate. We hate what is evil, just like a doctor hates cancer and does all that he can to keep it from destroying his patient. He doesn't pretend it's not cancer. He doesn't call it a cold. He calls it what it is and does everything he can to eradicate it from his patient. But you see, we're going to stand. We delight ourselves in the Lord. He's the one who gives us the desires of our heart. He's going to take care of you as you honor him. We're not at this point going to be able to stop at this point whether or not the government takes more of your hard-earned money. But that's okay. See, the wicked, they borrow and they don't pay back. That's what they've been doing, both Republican and Democrats, from the Social Security for years. They've robbed from it. They weren't supposed to take from it, but they did anyway. And they spent it on other things. We have a mess on our hands. God is not a mess. God is not shook up. God will still stand by you through the disasters, through the famines, through the difficulties. Listen, I've lived longer, I've walked with Christ longer than most of you have been alive. Now, not all of you. But for 37 years, I've been following Christ. I've raised 4 children. I know what it's like to be very poor. The first 7 years of my marriage and 3 children, I had no insurance of any kind. I didn't gross any more than about $9,000 a year. I lived in a $73 a month trailer. I drove a $200 car. And I knew what God wanted me to do, and I kept preparing for that. I had nothing to fall back on. I didn't have rich aunts or rich uncles. I understand what it's like to have boarded up trailers and cops up in the trailer court all the time. And we were just a light in our trailer court. We had so much joy. Me, Kathy, Jessica, Jeremy, and Celeste. In 560 square feet. All 5 of us. Living in this little metal box. No air conditioning. The handles on the windows were broken. Couldn't open the windows either. I was working almost 75 hours a week at the time. God was still God. That verse still gave me comfort. And he came through and he provided. In those years, we'd eat soup. Lots of soup. Homemade soup. Same soup. Over and over and over. Sappy. God kept us alive. God took care of us. God provided. I've watched God for the last 37 years as I delighted myself in Him, as I trusted Him. We had this administration. We had these policies, then these policies. Are some policies more righteous than others? None are perfect. They're never perfect. But are some more right, more better, you might say, more upright and moral? Yes. I've lived through all the kinds. Here I am, 56 years old. Still following Jesus Christ, because God's the King of the universe. He's the King of our eternal kingdom. He's the King of our life. And He promised His disciples, you seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But you see, there's also joy in knowing, and I know some of you, you're afraid to even think this way. So I'm just going to tell you to read this psalm yourself this weekend. And read what the Bible says, read what God says. But let me just tell you, the wicked aren't going to get away with it. Nobody's getting away with anything. See, and I realize there's a lot of angst. I understand that. I said I had a friend write me. He lives clear on the East Coast. He goes, Mark, basically said this, help me. I've been driving all day. I'm so beside myself. I'm screaming the entire day in my car. I can't believe this is happening. He's about 25 years old. In case you were thinking it was an old senior citizen like me. And I wrote him, I said, hey kiddo, don't sweat this. Is it aggravating some of the things that are happening? Absolutely. But there's a bigger picture. Step back. There's a new world coming. John 14. You know what Jesus said? Remember what the disciples were living under? They were living under occupation. They were living in occupied Palestine. They were living in occupied Jerusalem, the brutal Roman Empire. And they could be killed on the spot. The Romans were not nice people, by the way. And Jesus said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. And that's what happens. That's what the psalm is getting at. It's not so much, you know, you're worried. It means you're preoccupied and your heart's troubled. You're troubled by what you see. It just won't go away. You lay down in your bed and you're thinking about it. You get up, you're thinking about it. It's the middle of the day, you're thinking about it because you're preoccupied with everything that's awful that's being gotten away with. Nobody's going to get away with it. Do you understand that? No one's going to get away with it. Now, there may be a time for a while that we also have to suffer because we are under the policies of others. God promises to work for good for you and I. God promises that He will get us through to the other side. And believe me, I'm older than most of you here. And if I live my natural years, I might have 30 more years left. I'm done anyway. Jesus come back tomorrow. It's all done anyway. No one's going to get away with it, and we're going to get everything that God has promised us. We're going to get a brand new world, brand new body, brand new heaven, be with all the people that we love, to be total righteousness all the time. And His government, His kingdom will never end, and there will be no injustices. There will be no immorality. There will be no redefining what marriage is. There will be no redefining what life is, which is simply what they did with abortion. We simply redefined words. And the fetus was no longer a human life or a baby, but a fetus. That's always been their game. Redefine the terms. But call it something else so that you think you're taking people's freedoms from them. You can't redefine God's moral law. You can't do it. I don't care if people hated my guts the rest of my life for what I just said. It's the truth. And truth matters. Truth, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my truth, my words, will never pass away. God is going to come through for you. God is going to take care of you. He's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. He's going to watch over you and your family. Now, there may be times. I love this verse. I remember when Kathy and I were living in the trailer. But as I was driving, you know, today, in my 1992 Honda Accord, 20-year-old car, with 182,000 miles on it, with no air conditioning and no radio. That's what I drive. I was thinking of this verse. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the wicked. Lord, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, as the psalmist said, than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I'd rather be in that box in the trailer and eat soup all the time and know the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God in my life and His faithfulness and the joy that He brings and the peace that there is when we walk uprightly, than to have all the material possessions that so many people are either clamoring for, living for, or think they deserve. God is better. Do you realize how rich you and I are in Jesus? The Bible says in Psalms, your love is better than life. The lines have fallen to me in a pleasant, I've been a pleasant place. God has been so good to you. And I just wanted to encourage you with this psalm. It's from the Bible. I didn't make it up. And I'd like you to go home this weekend, just read it. Just read it, Psalm 37. And just read it yourself. Underline, write some notes to yourself. Find comfort in the fact that young or old, you'll never see God abandon you. He will not abandon you. Your politicians, they may abandon you. The politicians, it's a great, great, great injustice that they can make laws that do great harm and then be out of office and go off in their retirement and exempt themselves from all the... Did you know they can exempt and have exempted themselves from the very laws that they're going to require of you the next 8 years? But they aren't going to get away with it because God won't let them. He won't let them. And in the meantime, you have the God of the universe watching out for you. Father, we just thank you tonight. I just praise you tonight for your incredible comfort, the incredible encouragement of the Word of God. And Lord, no matter who we are here, no matter what we've been through, I remember, Lord, when my mother, who loved Jesus Christ, never been past the sixth grade, and my father abandoned her, and she became a single mother with five children. He had taken a second mortgage out on the house. She didn't know that he had. And one day the sheriff showed up and evicted my mom and my five siblings out on the street. She saw you come through. You gave her a job within that week. You gave her a little duplex to live. And Lord, she raised the rest of those kids. Today they're all going on. They're productive. They're married. And Lord, my mom today, 40, 50 years, has been teaching little Sunday school, having a little Good News Club in her home. She has so much joy. She lives in a big apartment building down in Iowa with actually a bunch of other older ladies. She plays the piano for them. She shares with Jesus because she knows where her home is. She knows, Lord, you're going to make up every single wrong that was ever done to her. You're going to make it up. You're going to make it up. In fact, Lord, once we cross over, it'll just be, our minds will be blown. We'll be like, why? And I'm saying this to myself, Lord, why did I ever worry? Oh my gosh, look what I have. Look what God gave me. And all that sorrow or maybe that loss or that hurt will be swallowed up in this extraordinary, overwhelming joy and richness and pleasure of what is now ours forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just, in closing, Lord, I lift up our nation. I lift up our nation, Lord. I lift up, Lord, those who are leading at the state level and at the national level. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd open their eyes to truth. All of them. All of them. Irrespective of their party. I ask you they'd open their eyes to consider what they're doing to the people of the nation. That they take the responsibility seriously. That they'd be upright. Today, we had the general, one of the most respected generals, head of the CIA, resign because of his affair, his extramarital affair. Heavenly Father, we pray that righteousness would be exalted because the Bible says righteousness exalts a people, but sin is a disgrace and brings a nation low. And so we just ask you, Lord, for all of our leaders that have just been put in office, our president, our congressmen, our senators, our governors, that God, you'd move in their heart to consider the policies they make and the impact, the long-term impacts that they have on the next generation. We need your help, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the comfort of your word. Thank you. It just stirs my soul, Lord. I mean, it puts such joy and strength and backbone and a smile on my face. In Jesus' name, amen.